Wait, where's that email? Oh, here we go. New music for Dan.
I know, that's exactly what I'm like looking for the email too. And I'm like, I know. I said this is perfect. I'll just open the email.
Wait, okay. Where?
Do the So Glow one. Or the Glow 5. So
it's a little creepy.
Gross, yeah.
I mean, I like her music. Don't get me wrong. She's good. I do like her.
But don't get me wrong.
What are
that's pretty gross. All right. So, what do we say we get this started?
Let's dig in our heels.
I might puke, but let's do it.
I might puke, but let's do it.
Well played, madam.
I watched that movie when I was going to sleep like two nights ago. I've had all those lines in my head ever since.
Wow.
Shelly.
Okay. Hey, everybody. It's Dave the Clone back on the Never Mind the Posers audio extension that we call the Poser Free Podcast. I'm joined again by founder and editor-in-chief TNT, Tina.
What's up? Tickling me.
And our another one of our writer editors, Dan. Do you have a call sign yet, Dan? Do you have like a Maverick from Top Gun type thing we want to call each other on the air or what?
The Zodiac.
Not that I don't know.
Okay,
if it was anything, it would probably be H2 because that's what all of my things are now.
Okay, because yeah. I just don't want to be the only weirdo going, "Hi, I'm Dave the Clone."
Wow, that sounds pretty cool.
H-Toof. As in like a houndstooth, but T-O-O-F, H-Toof.
H-Toof. Oh, yes. I didn't get that. Okay. Oh,
well, now you do.
All right, and H-Toof.
No, T-Dog
and Killer D are in the house.
Oh. H-Toof.
What up, gangsta?
All right. Well, welcome back to the Poser Free Podcast. Welcome to episode 2. I guess we're going to start off with some news stories, or how's everybody doing? Do we want to just say hi first?
Hi.
What up?
How's everybody doing out there? Hopefully you guys are doing good. You can email us at the Nevermind the Posers page.
You can email us at nevermindtheposers@gmail.com. Otherwise, leave some comments at the website, nevermindtheposers.com.
And check out our weekly top 5 lists and all of our reviews and CD reviews and show reviews and interviews. In particular, our recent interview with Andrew W.K. and the audio portion of that you heard in the last episode of Poser Free Podcast. So what are we talking about today?
Today we are going to talk about new music. Knows that South by Southwest has just wrapped up the giant music festival in Austin, Texas, so we can go over a few things like that. Actually, I was reading some reviews because I could not attend this year. So I was reading something from the New York Times, and they were going over some music, and one of their descriptions was a genre called Glo-Fi and Chillwave. Now, I just want to inform everyone, because maybe this has been around for a while, but it's definitely the first time I'm ever hearing this, so... What's going on, New York Times? Did you just create some new genres here? We actually have
it's actually on Wikipedia, so you know
it is
true.
On Wikipedia. Dan, what does it say on Wikipedia?
Let's go to the Wikipedia page.
So, chillwave, as defined by the masses / Wikipedia.
This is Glo-Fi!
What?
Glo-Fi!
No! It sucks. I'm not really digging.
No, it's kind of like chill wave, but it's blow by.
No, Dave is the one who gets.
a term used to describe a strand of indie rock music that emerged at the turn of the 2000s, although it could be argued that the first chillwave song was Dressing Up on The Cure's album The Top in 1984. It is characterized by heavy use of effects processing, synthesizers, looping, sampling, and heavily filtered vocals with simple melodic lines.
Sounds like new wave to me.
It sounds like a lot of other genres. I don't know. Its musical predecessors include the synth pop of the 1980s, shoegaze, ambient, and various types of world music. Chillwave is notably different from those influences because it is often produced by outsider musicians recording in home studios.
Sort of like what we're doing here, if you think about it.
Lyrics sometimes mention nostalgia for childhood, the beach, and dropping acid. Oh, so I guess if you sing about dropping acid, childhood, or the beach, then it's chillwave.
That maybe sounds... all of them together. It's
maybe
like
all of them together.
The ultimate chillwave.
That's pretty chill.
It might be too much
the
chill.
Ultimate chillwave.
How much
experience.
Chill can you really get in that? I mean, packed into one punch there.
Yeah, if you're on acid, you're gonna be pretty chill.
Here's I've got a portion of that New York Times article actually right now. This is coming out of the March 21st, 2010 edition by the article Spilling Beyond a Festival's Main Courses by John Perles. Skipping down a few paragraphs, yada, yada, yada. Some of the most packed shows were by leaders of a much-blogged microtrend variously known as Glo-Fi and Chillwave. Neon Indian, Washed Out, Small Black, Memory Tapes, Tori Omoi. They're solo acts or minimal bands, often with a laptop at their core, and they trade on memories of electro-pop from the 1980s with bouncing, blipping dance music hooks, and often weaker lead vocals. It's recession-era music, low-budget, and danceable. I am instantly reminded of an act we saw at CMJ this year at, I believe, was it the Cake Shop?
I believe so.
I don't remember what this chick's name was, but
I would definitely have
to say that she falls right into this category. So from having some firsthand experience with something like this, I could say I'm pretty much ready to leave it.
Yeah, if that's how we're describing it, it's terrible. We never knew her name.
It's a shame because she was shockingly bad. it's almost like let's give her some publicity for how
shockingly bad
this thing was. Fucking scary to be at. Now I was actually, you know, we were in the Cake Shop. Is it the Cake Shop?
Yeah, it's in the basement of the Cake Shop is where they hold concerts.
In New York City. And if you've never been there, this place is definitely like a claustrophobic nightmare. And so we're so close that I actually didn't want to say out loud, holy shit, this chick sucks. So here I am, pulling out my phone.
Well played, sir.
And I start texting TNT going, I can't fucking believe this chick is playing CMJ. Little more do I get those letters texted onto my razor, and I look up, and she is standing, not TNT, the artist herself, formerly known as We Don't Know Who, is standing right next to me, like, reading the text. Like, I was just... So I basically just kind of flipped the phone closed and just looked at her, and she just, like, looked up at me and kept walking. Like,
dancing
she was
all
doing
over you.
This weird, like, walking like I'm in a trance because of my own music kind of thing.
Oh, she was probably dropping acid and just being
chilling.
Nostalgic. For childhood.
She was
remembering
the definition
on the beach.
Of glo-fi. I don't know. She was... If that's the definition of glo-fi and I've actually witnessed live music, then I don't want anything to do with it. Same with shoegazing.
Or
I mean,
recorded.
When I heard that term, I was automatically confused. I was like, what the hell is this?
Could
when you look it up...
Could you define that for any of us?
When
that might
I read
know,
a
like
definition... Someone wants to find a definition, but basically it's like staring at your shoes and like moving your shoulders because it's not, you can't dance to it, and it's probably really depressing where you don't want to get up. You probably don't even want to smile when you're
life,
listening to shoegaze.
Miserable life.
Yes.
Miserable
there
life.
You go. Like you can just, like when I think shoegaze, all I think is... South Park. I think of South Park, those goth characters. Have you ever seen them dance? Where they just kind of shuffle their feet and
we're
move
not
side
goth,
to side.
We're vampires.
I mean, I know we can go into like, okay, that was totally like goth music or emo music, but really?
Emo.
I think that's what
shoegaze
is.
See, just listen to that right there, though. Goth and emo. This is how things like lo-fi and chillwave happen. I mean, I think it's almost like the way any slang and language happens. It's kind of like, you know, people just start saying it amongst their friends, and then, you know, their friends tell two friends, and the next thing you know, they say we're 6 degrees away from everybody. Somebody's got to know an actor or a movie producer or somebody who winds up throwing it on a show or in a movie, and now the whole country is saying, I remember feeling like we created Redonkulous in college, okay, and then all of a sudden it's in I Love You Man, so obviously we didn't create it, but, you know, things like that.
Oh, I thought lo-fi just came from Satan.
I don't know.
That's just...
That could be the explanation for plenty of things.
Well, now that we have that covered, and we are all up to date, and we know what lo-fi
the latest
chill
musical
wave
trends
is.
Moving right along.
Or the latest musical abortions.
All right, and in other South by Southwest news...
Yes.
You know, a lot of people don't actually... The attendance of the panels were way down this year. I forget where I got it from. Someone took a picture... just to show that there was, like, no one present. Actually, I think it was Pop Hiss.
That's a pretty vacant-looking crowd there.
They did a lot of the covering, and Todd Martins was writing about South by Southwest from Pop Hiss, and, he took a picture just to show how low the attendance was. And now these are, you know, in the day, people are not going. They're sleeping late, you know, sleeping off the hangover. Whatever, but these are all like the, you know, keynote speakers, the industry heads who are talking about major topics.
Speakers such as Matador Records, Gerard Cosloy? Do you know, is it Cosley?
I don't know.
Cosloy. Cosloy. Hey, you know what? He can send us an email at nevermindtheposers@gmail.com.
Let us know how to pronounce your name. Send us some music.
Come on, man. We'll review it. And Domino's Chris Gillespie, I guess they were heading a panel discussing the merger of Ticketmaster and Live Nation. And there's also this new controversy about 360 label deals.
Yeah, I wanted to get your opinion on what you guys thought about the 360 deal.
The all-encompassing, I guess, is what we're supposed to take from that 360. Circling a big circle around your stuff that they're going to take, right?
Yeah. So, and in case anyone doesn't know what a 360 deal is, Gerard Cosley actually summed it up pretty nicely.
Some major labels have attempted to get into the merch and ticket business by signing artists to so-called 360 deals, a pact. Notice they say pact. You know, I mean, the only other time you ever hear pact, like in a movie, is when it's with the devil. So a pact to receive a cut of nearly every aspect of an artist's revenue stream. The record label executives who are holding this panel, Cosley and Matador, immediately said they wouldn't go down that route. This is a sentiment that Kill Rock Star's head Portia Sabin also echoed. So basically, it's like the record label has a piece of everything you do because they're controlling everything you do. They're making your T-shirts for you and your posters. Yes, so we have another quote from Gerard Cosley here. I don't think they're unethical. My gripe is that it's not our field of expertise. Our job is to put out records. We have no history of making T-shirts. We're not a blacklight poster company. If we want to get in that business, we need to get our hands dirty and gain some expertise.
So exactly. I mean, you have these... You know, big wigs at these labels, and, you know, they know how to put the records out. That's their job. They don't make the blacklight posters, and they don't make the T-shirts. They need to outsource. So, and by outsourcing that, you know, they're giving work to other people, and people who, that's their field.
Well, the whole thing, too, is that I think back in the day, bands used to take care of most of this stuff on their own. This is what the band's business manager would handle. He would find the T-shirt company to print up the T-shirts, and he would find the poster company to make the blacklight posters. And then you know, the band would deal directly with them. Like bands like Kiss, bands that have been around forever that have empires that they've built, you know, they are not going to let a record company tell them who to let print their comic book or who to make their action figures.
Nor should they.
So it's like, it sounds like this is something new to me, you know, just being the average Joe music fan, cynical, jaded, you know, voice of reason this week. Sorry about that, everybody. This to me just sounds like a yet another entertainment type industry reaction to the new digital era where people are just like finding ways of getting stuff for free. And the way bands are finding ways to reach out directly to their fans and cut the record labels out of a lot of what they used to be in control of from the second they signed a band. It's interesting. Andrew WK talked about that a little bit in the interview we did with him. You know, I think with the models like iTunes that built the ability to sell one song at a time and
I think it's just about greed right now, and that the record companies, they're not making money right now. So they're trying to think, what can we do to make more money off of our artists? Can we control everything? Can we take a percentage cut of everything? Because that's what it's coming down to.
Well, people that's what it always was, though. I mean, that's what it used to be, it sounds like. You know,
it sounds like it, but the problem is they're... More and more artists are trying to do it themselves, you know?
Well, and I also think, again, because of the technology, that now they have the ability to do that. They have ways for the fans to reach out. You know, they can give out their email address. Mm-hmm. When we went to see the Pixies, they were like, hey, you know, everybody can get a thumb drive here tonight and download this entire show. It's being bootlegged for you. You know what I mean? It's like they don't even have to ask the record. They're doing it.
It was so
overpriced,
you know what I mean? But...
Yeah, but still. But it's like, you know... They, you know, it's just the ability to do things like that. The advent of technology, the availability of it, how mm-hmm. cheap it is, thumb drives. Ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous. But it's interesting that this is, you know, something that's being talked about right now.
Conveniently enough, none of the heads of Live Nation or Ticketmaster mm-hmm. did any of the panel speaking this year, probably because they knew they would be overwhelmed. And
well, there's another thing. I mean, Live Nation and Ticketmaster being allowed to merge. Like, I thought in this country you're not supposed to have monopolies on things. And it just seems to me, taking the two largest concert promoters and making them one big one is something called a monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I'm one of the only people alive anymore.
No, it's a big controversy.
How could they just not expect people to immediately think that either? You know, there's a lot of things that have happened in the public view, both in government and entertainment. And just because we're able to get information so much faster, we see everything. And it's amazing to me that they think we would just let some things like these happen right in front of our face. And it's not even that they think they did and we're not doing anything about it. But some of us just kind of know, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, CD sales have been way down, and everyone knows that. It's the way to make money right now is touring and going to live shows. So now ticket sales are on the rise, and CD sales are down. So now we have Live Nation Entertainment taking over, you know? It is one
monopoly.
Big monopoly. We need a big gong to well, initiate when
we
our
do need
topic
a big gong.
Is over.
You see, I have all those things that I put in afterwards.
Oh.
So the editing.
Okay,
and stuff
well,
does.
Insert
well,
gong
I want a
noise
real
here.
Gong.
Yeah, I think we should buy a real gong because that's more fun.
I agree with you.
Otherwise, I want to press the button of the gong. Maybe that'll suffice.
The gong button. So what does this mean? Does it mean that we're probably going to not be able to afford to go to concerts very much longer?
Yep.
There's only going to be one company now that has to have, again, ticket coverage. Mm-hmm. This amazing thing that they never had to explain what it is or how they distribute it. And I think they even mentioned that in the article, too, about how, you know, now there's no one for the ticket coverage even to compete with. So basically, the people who get screwed the worst are us. Us people who would be buying the tickets. We're
You're
fucked.
You're slapped with those.
Wait, the consumers are getting fucked?
Constantly.
We're just slapped with those convenience
Dave.
Charges. 10 to 20. Anywhere ranging from 10 to $20.
And what
it's
is
ridiculous.
So convenient about that? What is
I mean,
so
no, I can understand a percentage goes to the venue, the house venue. But I think more and more labels are trying to find venues that aren't associated with Live Nation and Ticketmaster just for the fact that they don't have to pay those, you know, service charges.
Which,
and at the end of the day, it's really just costing the label more money. But
which, yeah, and that's a problem. It's a problem for bands.
Economy
especially
is bad.
For...
People aren't going to buy concert tickets. So what are we going to do? Slap more money on them for fees that they can't afford? No. We need to cut some of those out. It's getting ridiculous.
It's amazing. I just think it's like the greed has been discovered. You know, I think once artists are able to sell stuff directly to their fans and they find out that they didn't need these big companies the way they thought they did, it's sort of like the companies are like, oh, shit. How are we going to go back to being like, you know, the dominant emperors of this again? You know, how are we going to take this back? And this is one of the ways. So,
well, maybe they shouldn't have started raping us with $20 CD prices.
Yeah. Well, yeah. For the first off. I mean, like, it even goes to show there was a recent case in Israel where a bunch of people were protesting a Metallica concert because they thought the concert price, ticket prices were just astronomical. You know what I mean? It's like,
it's never too high for Metallica.
It's going to, but it's, I don't know. Would you pay $500 to go?
No.
No,
but I don't make money like that.
Will I listen to the radio stations nonstop to try to win tickets? Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, I will.
Oh, okay. I'm not a big Metallica fan.
Gong.
For the record.
Okay, moving
Gong.
Right along. So yeah, I'm not this Lady Gaga fan that's just going to like defend everything she does and say, oh my God, she's a genius just for getting up in the morning. But, you know, this late breaking news that her internet page views cracked 1 billion. Now, I got to say, when I first heard the headline, I didn't understand that the way that they were counting these page views. But to me, that sounds like, you know, if you had a YouTube video that got 1 billion page views, you'd be like, holy shit, my video is awesome. Everybody in the world has seen it. Well, listen to this shit. Okay, the page views, according to the two or three articles I've seen here, we got nowpublic.com and just Google it. And there's a million articles and they all say the same thing. And apparently the page views are counting anything and everything that has to do with Lady Gaga, including things like parodies and spoofs. Now, to me, that immediately makes this whole story bullshit, okay?
Why
can
is
you
this even
believe
news?
This? Well, for one, can you believe this? You know, the first audio, can you believe this rant column, okay? And yeah, who gives a shit, for one? That's the first question. But seriously, to be making it look like her page views cracked 1 billion by throwing in, this is like counting votes from people who don't exist in an election. You know what I mean? It's like rigging an election. Oh, we're going to take anyone who's mashed up Lady Gaga videos or made parodies on their own. These are not even videos that she's produced. These are not websites that are, you know, part of her business management and her empire. So now, like, anyone who puts up a Lady Gaga video on YouTube, that page that someone else made now counts towards one of her page views. So in my mind, this is like a total crap move, like attention grab, which I don't believe. She's getting 1 billion page views. Does she really need an article explaining that 1 billion page views have been seen of her? And you know,
no.
I'm probably the only one who's just overreacting to this, but
no, I mean, like, I do like Lady Gaga a lot. I like her music.
So do I. I mean,
like,
I'm not gonna lie,
the I don't know, her point of view on like pop and all that stuff, but I think the article is just pointless. Who cares? 1 billion page views from a billion random internet
eyes. But it's like,
eyes.
For one, and it's rigged.
It's not like it's all good. I mean, parodies and spoofs and things like that. You want to be popularized? Like, say, oh yeah, I got the 1 billion views, but
because one of the videos,
you know,
was someone saying that I'm a hermaphrodite.
Yeah, people are making fun of me. Ha 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 ha.
Someone added a giant cock to one of my pictures, you know, and put it up in their YouTube video. But you know what? I'll take it. It counts. I get to walk around and say, you know, they may not have given me the Grammy for video or whatever is track of the year at one at the end that I swear to God, I thought she looked like she was going to cry when she didn't get it. Which, listen, I'm sure if it was me in her position, I'd probably cry too. But, you know, after the big spectacle of herself that she made herself, it's like she didn't get the Grammy, but she got the 1 billion page views.
I didn't think it was her year to win a Grammy.
One
She's
more
too
notch
new.
On the belt.
No, I think she should have won the Grammy. I think Taylor Swift should have not won.
She'll take
the
them all home
the
next
Grammy.
Year. Yeah,
that's
no,
true.
I think we
she
all agree
will.
That Taylor
Swift,
Taylor Swift
is just
boo. But look at us regressing back to our Grammy woes.
Well, I also feel bad because, like, when we mentioned the Taylor Swift thing with Andrew WK, it's almost like he did respectfully disagree, but I was just like, oh, shit. I almost wish I hadn't.
Another artist doesn't want to go on the record saying, you know, yeah,
that
I agree
sucks.
With someone else that, you know, it's maybe it's not that her music sucks and,
well,
you know,
we didn't ask
country
him to say
pop,
that.
Fine,
we were just talking about that she thanked her record label for writing her own
music.
Yeah,
that was the most preposterous thing ever. Thank you for letting me write my own music.
See, now, and then he kind of said that, you know, I think you guys are being too harsh and criticizing her for that, basically. And
we weren't criticizing her. I mean, we're just saying people should be putting, that's at least that's what I'm thinking. You know, I don't have a record deal. I don't I don't talk with record labels all the time. I don't have a manager, but if I was a musician, you bet your ass that I'd be writing my own music.
Yeah. I don't know. When you stack up Taylor Swift next to Lady Gaga, come on. Like, really?
I don't know. I'm not.
Really?
Well, then maybe, I'm not on the same Gaga train as you guys
maybe
are.
Maybe that's the industry saying that she still needs to pay her dues, and even though she came on really strong this year.
Well, what about Taylor Swift? She probably just got her period yesterday.
Yeah, that's
true. I don't think she paid her dues yet.
And she definitely did not cut it performing with a living legend, Stevie Nicks. I mean, there was that one moment during that performance where, like, you saw Stevie Nicks' face. She was like, are you serious? Did you just sing that note? Are you serious?
It was a rough performance, which maybe she'll grow up for it, but I don't know. It's not that I'm not a fan. She's very talented. It's just I don't think she has any business with the Grammy.
Yeah, and let alone however many she had that year that she dropped.
All right, moving
now
on.
Now that we're done Taylor bashing, this is what we do at the end of a long week. You know what? You know, it's don't pose, man. We'll knock you out.
Mama said knock you out.
How do you guys find new music? I think it's a little...
Yay!
It's an interesting phenomenon these days.
I love the topic.
Because I remember... some weird time recently in my life where the only way I was finding new music was on the music choice channels. So it's more like finding new old music sometimes.
Those are right above those like softcore porn channels, right?
Yeah, they're up in the way high 1600s, I think, on Cablevision.
Softcore porn and new music.
It's awesome. It's awesome. When you're single.
How do we?
I thought that music sounded familiar in that porno. Now I know.
So, how do you guys find new music?
Honestly, commercials. Commercials have been getting better and better these days.
We're talking about TV commercials now, right?
Yes, TV commercials. There was this, I forget the name of the band, and I could look it up and I'd know it like that. I think they were the Silver Seas, but they did a laundry detergent commercial. And it was an adorable commercial. A little boy had like a dirty hat and they washed it. I don't know. But it was like a song called Imaginary Girl, and like still no one knew about it. I could sing it. Imaginary girl, this is a song for you.
Oh, I remember that song.
Let's see. Video
Sorry
results. The Silver
forever.
Seas, Imaginary
Score,
Girl.
TNT remembered.
Touchdown.
So, yeah, the Silver Seas. They had some, like, really good music there.
Are they better than the Silver Sun pickups?
Yes. And they're not even popular.
There was like a whole section of the audience out there like, what?
I don't mean, like the Silver the Silver Sun pickups are good, but my God, it's the same sound over and over. Like,
I didn't know that the lead singer was a guy.
Oh yeah, that was the one thing.
I was like, whoa, when I saw the video I was like, you're shitting me. Oh my God.
Like at points you think their lyrics are clever, and then you're like, I'm so over this. I'm sick of it.
So anyone who doesn't know who they are is hopefully going to go and check them out online. And this will be a new place where you find out about new music, I think, is what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, form your own opinion. Don't listen to
podcast.
Us.
Don't pose.
Don't pose.
Be a poser.
We're just giving you the information here.
Don't
you,
be a poser,
you form
we'll
your
cut
own
you.
Opinion.
But if you were looking for ways to find new music, some of these would probably
there
be
There you
ways.
Go. Commercials.
Commercials. Okay, so Dan, how do you find new music?
Commercials also.
Are you guys kidding me with this shit? Are you serious?
No.
Do you know how many commercials the Ting Tings were in?
Well,
Dolly Rots. The Dolly Rots, go check out right now. Never mind, the posers. One of our writers, Angela, she went to the concert. The Dolly Rots opened up for Bowling for Soup. Yes, they are still playing. I'll let you read the review on your own. It's a great review. But the Dolly Rots had a Kohl's commercial, which the YouTube video is also up there, for their single Because I'm Awesome. And I swear to God, if you watch that video, you'd be like, oh my God, yeah, I remember seeing that commercial. You don't even realize it. It's like you're being subliminal messages, subliminal music through commercial. It's happening. You better watch out. You're going to find some new music and you're not even going to know it.
I found the sounds actually through... It was like it was a bump on VH1 and it had their song Dance With Me, and I went online, I was like, who sings this song? And that's how I fell in love
with
the sounds.
I've done that a lot.
I love the sounds.
The Blue Van, Dan and I did a music swap with the Blue Van.
Oh yeah, Blue Van did have
I think it was I don't remember the brand. It was a cell phone commercial. It was a really cool commercial. I think that too is also somewhere on our website.
You think?
Okay, fine. I know.
That's
but,
right.
But I really, I'm not
Poser
really
Free
sure.
Podcast.
Also, another way to find new music Well, besides friend recommendations.
Oh, yeah.
I still listen to radio. I actually listen to a
radio.
I listen to it through iTunes, so it's not like lame, you know? It's not like I'm actually listening to a radio. Everyone's like, you don't have some kind of like. I listen to K-Rock from broadcast out of LA. I listen to Kevin Bean in the morning. Mm. But once Lisa May is gone and the afternoon chick comes on, I can't remember her name because she sucks. So I turn it off then. But pretty much. Yeah, I listen to the radio.
Pandora, I actually found this band called Stateless through Pandora.
See, I have no experience with Pandora right now.
Oh my god, Pandora, it's great. Because you just put in an artist, and then it breaks it down into the genre, all the different genres and aspects of it, and gives you recommendations based on that.
I've used it once or twice.
Is it like artificial intelligence?
It's the Music Genome Project. Whatever that is, that's what Pandora is, the Music Genome Project.
Why don't we Google it?
The future is here.
Google, Google, Google. Who is not sponsoring this podcast, by the way?
But you should. Give us
I agree,
money.
They should.
The Music Genome Project from Wikipedia.
A slap of the biz.
Slap of the biz.
The Music Genome Project.
Now you sound like a leprechaun.
The music.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Dave. Go ahead. I'll slap in the biz.
The Music Genome Project, created in January 2000, is an effort founded by Will Glasser, John Kraft, and Tim Westergren to capture the essence of music at the fundamental level. It's a fundamental level. Using almost 400 attributes to describe songs and a simple mathematical algorithm to organize them. The company Savage Beast Technologies was formed to run the project. A given song is represented by a vector, a list of attributes, containing approximately 150 quote-unquote genes. Wow, this is going to sound ridiculous. Analogous to trait-determining genes for organisms in the field of genetics. So basically they're saying songs have genes. Like people and living things.
I hope this
have
is like
genes.
A metaphor.
Are you guys kidding me? Oh, okay, all right, keep going here.
It's a meteor.
Each gene corresponds to a characteristic of the music. For example, gender of lead vocalist, level of distortion on the electric guitar, type of background vocals, etc.
I think it's dark magic.
Rock and pop songs have 150 genes, rap songs have 350 genes. It's like beyond Down syndrome.
Okay.
And jazz songs have approximately 400. Jazz, the most retarded music of all.
Hey, I like jazz. Don't you?
I'm just saying, you know, when you have more chromosomes. No, I'm just. Okay,
moving on.
Yeah.
Something about retarded people.
I don't know. We'll edit it out.
Yeah, that's not good.
Anyway, so basically what they're saying is that songs have genes like people and animals.
I don't understand how you can say, yes, rap music has 350 genes. Like, they have to follow the formula. That's what it is. Like, there's nothing. There's no more, no less.
Well, world and classical music have 300 to 500 genes. So there's no, not necessarily any, for certain types of music, set number of genes, but if you fall into this range, it's world and classical. The system depends on a sufficient number of genes to render useful results. Each gene is assigned a number between 1 and 5 in half integer increments. Given the vector of one or more songs,
okay,
a list of other similar songs.
Because,
so someone actually sat around and thought of this. Okay.
Wow,
excellent.
Someone just a lot of acid.
Excellent. So anyway, through the Music Genome Project,
so
we have the miracle of Pandora.
Well,
so what is
Pandora?
No,
you put in an artist, and it breaks it down into all the genes, and then makes a radio station based on all those genes from that one artist. Or you can use like
for
a lot
you
of,
though. It's like a radio station dedicated
like
to what you listen to.
That's cool. It's definitely a great way to find new
music. Sometimes it can be very hit or miss because you can put in, I don't know. I put in Kenna, an artist that I like very much.
Not Kesha?
Not K-E dollar sign H-A.
Kesha with a dollar sign.
and it started, like, Kenna, I guess he's, well, I guess one of his genes was R&B, and started, like, putting these, like, hardcore rap songs on, and I was like, that'll be a no.
Yeah.
But other than that, I've actually found some really, really good music. And I actually found Kenna through the iTunes Discovery downloads.
Mm-hmm.
every Tuesday. I think it's every Tuesday.
Yes, it's every
iTunes,
Tuesday.
They put
free digital downloads.
Yeah, they have free music videos, or they have a couple free songs,
free!
Or whatever.
Free.
And I randomly downloaded. Well, I try and download them every week, and I found Kenna through it, and I have a mild obsession with Kenna.
You know what else I found is a great way to discover new music is, say you're going to a show, and you're going for the headliner, but, you know, check out those opening bands. Those opening bands are a great way to find new music.
They're playing there for a reason.
Although if
sometimes
you wanted
they really, really suck, too.
But you'll find your gems every now and then.
And the side stages at music festivals, like the main
second
stages.
Second stage.
Any music, you know, if you're going to Bamboozle or Warped Tour, you don't even realize how many bands are playing. You know, some bands are there, you know, so you have the opener bands, the ones that are there right when it opens, maybe noon, something like that, noon, 1 o'clock. Check them out. Check them out before
you know
you go.
What? It really sucks to be in that band going, nobody is coming to listen to us.
Our groupies are here.
Our girlfriends and their friends, and why are we here?
Support everyone.
A good rule of thumb is if you see a dance party occurring at a side stage, chances are something good is occurring. That's how I found Ultraviolet Sound.
Awesome.
I was walking around Bamboozle and I was like, oh, there's a dance party over there. Oh, they're covering Jock Jams.
Jock Jams.
They're actually a really, really fun band.
And I still use MySpace to find music.
Yeah, MySpace is always a good one.
Maybe not discovering new music, but if there's like an indie artist, something like that, I will go through their top friends because a lot of the times they have other bands that either they're associated with, they're friends with,
they've toured with, or something.
Exactly, you know, openers for tours, excellent ways to find new music. Gong.
Freakonomics of live performance. The freakonomics. Like, you don't want to make everybody clap if you're playing in a bar. You don't want to do clapping because people are not going to be putting down their drinks to clap. Right?
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Totes.
So I think we're kind of getting ready to wrap up here. What should we move on to the next little quick
new
segment?
New music. Anyone
new
have
business?
Any new business?
New business?
New music?
New business? New music. Anyone?
Yeah, so what's going on? What kind of songs? Anyone hear any new music that they loved this week? Anything really stick out to them?
It's not new, per se. It's the first time I've heard it, and it's a band called Alphabeat, and I think they're actually opening for Lady Gaga on her European...
Oh, cool.
...like, monster tour. I actually heard them at the gym for the first time, and was like, this is amazing. But yeah, the song I heard is called Boyfriend, and it's a really good song. On their MySpace, they list one of their influences as Ace of Base, and you get that very
it shows
powerfully.
You get it right away.
Very quickly when you listen to their music.
Nice.
Sweet.
So, anyone else? New
music? Mine's all commercial stuff, like the new Muse album, The Resistance. I've been listening to that.
I still haven't listened to it. That terrible of me?
No, I mean, actually, I have a love-hate relationship with Muse. Like, I love Muse, and they'll always have a couple, like, epic songs that I'm just like, oh my god, Muse! But then the whole CD, like, it'll be awesome for a day or two, and then I go to listen to it again, and I'm like, why did I like
and
this?
Then it wears off.
God damn it.
I like The Uprising.
The first three songs are amazing. The third song is incredible. It's very Depeche Mode influenced. That's the thing about it, too. It's an unoriginal album. There's songs that you're like, wow, so you guys are trying to be Queen and The Doors at the same time. That's not working. But track number three, Undisclosed Desires, has got to be my hands-down favorite new song of the week.
Okay. I would have to go with Black Taxi. Black Taxi is a band out of Brooklyn, and they played CMJ this past October.
Still
they
Brooklyn.
Also played South by Southwest, but they're from Brooklyn.
I was going to
figured either. Someone would have.
We picked it up, Tina. Don't worry about it.
We're going to Brooklyn tomorrow. So.
I know. That should be fun.
Go to bed tomorrow.
Yeah, but check out Black Taxi. My favorite song by them that I just can't get out of my head is Head on a Pike.
No pun intended.
it's great. It's, you know, kind of like an indie rock kind of band. Just, you gotta go check it out.
I'm coming from
It's amazing.
Yeah, I just listened to it and kind of like fell in love with it the first time I heard it.
It's great.
I really liked it.
It's got that catchy hook in there that it just gets stuck in your head. And with a clever chorus like, head on a pike, head on a pike. You know, I think everyone can pretty much relate.
It's funny.
Everybody wants my head on a pike.
Head on a pike, but it's such a happy sounding song.
It is a happy sounding song.
I love songs like that that are all kind of like happy go lucky, light and feathery. And then it's like, and we're killing your family. Yeah, we're killing your family. Has anybody else heard songs like that? Am I alone on this one?
I'm sure I have. Got a smile on my face. Come to mind immediately.
It's more like when you're watching South Park, probably.
Ha. Ha. South Park.
Oh. We're killing your family. Or America. Fuck yeah. And on that note, I think that wraps up this edition of the Poser Free Podcast.
Fuck yeah.
This is Dave the Clone with TNT and Dan saying, what are we saying?
I'm saying peace, love, and music, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Check out Nevermind the Posers, www.nevermindtheposers.com. We'll provide you some of the links of the new music that we like.
And don't forget to send us your emails at nevermindtheposers@gmail.com.
Oh,
same
and follow
spelling.
Us on Twitter. We have a Twitter. I actually update our
Dan's
Twitter.
Dan's in charge of updating the Twitter.
But I don't know what our name is. I think it's...
That's not so good for the person being in charge of the Twitter.
Listen.
That's it, Dan. I'm going to have to get serious.
Step into my office.
Off the island?
Get your fucking fire!
Oh, no, don't fire
me. Seven little chipmunks sitting on a branch, eating lots of sunflowers on my cousin's ranch.
I don't know what that's a reference to.
I guess no one remembers that scene from There's Something About Mary, but that's okay.
I've actually never seen There's Something
About
Mary.
I'm going to be that guy on this podcast, I think.
I mean, I know a bunch of children's songs, but I was going to say that
you
one.
You know that old kid's rhyme from the sea? Seven's the number, man.
I'm looking for it. Where are we?
Okay. Go ahead.
Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/NVMThePosers.
And don't forget, we also have a MySpace, myspace.com/backsplash.
Like behind the sink in the kitchen.
All right. Do over. Also, check us out at myspace.com/nevermindtheposers. And subscribe to our blog. It's at nevermindtheposers.com, but make sure you become a member, subscribe to us so you can get updates on all the new posts.
Yeah, we're on all of those social media sites. So
and if you're listening to this on iTunes, remember to subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. Be sure to keep your ears glued right here, and we'll have our call-in line set up hopefully in the next couple episodes or so.
Cool, so we can take calls.
Yeah, we're also
going to
be...
Send us in your new music if you're a new band, you want
your
music
reviewed.
Yes, we want
to hear from you. If you're a band, we would love to listen to your music.
And review the shit out of it, like we'll be doing to the new Andrew WK CD that we got, Secret Stash, sent to us, because we're that cool.
Where's your Secret Stash?
So, everybody, until
keep
next
it sexy,
time,
y'all.
And poser free.
Sexy and poser free.
But mostly poser free.
No, mostly sexy.
Stay classy, San Diego.